Is our next guest, do we have his microphone on over there?
One second.
Is he all set over
there? Wait, one second. Hit me.
There we go. Chris?
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah, good morning.
We have three microphones on. Wait, let's see if we have Brad's mic.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. We got the hat trick going right now. I was listening to Chris Morgan. We call him world-renowned animal expert.
Well, we call him that.
Well, I know, but that's
BBC,
a shorthand.
You know,
but I think isn't there a fancy science name that we're supposed to call you? What is a fancy science name we're supposed to call you?
I guess I'm an ecologist.
Ecologist, really. That's it. That's the fancy science. So anyway, Chris is doing these podcasts now with KUOW, The Wild, and there's this one where Chris. In the podcast, I think this was last October, he is hiking or something or other, and he comes across a cougar. Now, you see a cougar there in the distance, and most of us, you know, he freezes, and then the cougar runs off. Most of us then are like, after the cougar leaves, we go the opposite direction. The guy standing a few feet away from us, Brad, what does he do? He goes, I'm going to go get that thing.
Well, probably looked at him and said, that guy's 6'5".
I'm going to go track that thing down.
I'm going to find easier prey.
Now, you did that, didn't you?
I did. I wasn't trying to catch him, really. I was just trying to follow him and see what he was up to.
Where were you?
Just on the edge of town, on the edge of Gulbreth Mountain there.
Here in Bellingham.
Yeah, just walking down a trail, and about 40 yards in front of me, there was this blind bend that went to the left. And as I came over the brow of this hill, there was this big cat. Just walking into view there, hadn't seen me. I kind of trod on a leaf that crumpled under my foot, and it caught his attention. He looked around and then just really casually sort of spun around very slowly on the spot. His tail seemed to last forever, you know, and off he went down the trail. So I ran down the trail to see if I could see where he'd gone, but the most amazing thing was there was no brush moving, sign of him. He just kind of melted into the undergrowth.
All right, well, listen, Mr. Ecologist, let me explain what these cougars can do to you. Brad, can we play that cut? Now, I want you to listen to this. This is from Vancouver Island. I don't know if you're aware of this story. This happened, gosh, Brad, I think it was only a couple weeks ago, right?
If 2 weeks ago.
This little kid's in his backyard in Vancouver Island, and mom's in the house, and a 7-year-old boy, and there's the cougar just gets on him. It just jumps on top of him and has the boy's head is in the cougar's jaws. Mom comes out, saves the boy. Boy's fine. He's got some scratches. But listen to this little fella right
His
here.
His back feet were still on the ground, but it kind of jumped up and his hands got me. And then when it got a grip on me, it jumped on me, and then I fell. It, had so much pressure on me that I fell, and then it attacked me. I was kind of tucked up like an egg, and I was yelling, Mommy, Mommy, really loud, as hard as I, as loud as I could yell. After she pried the mouth open, she, smacked it, kind of, and it kind of ran away.
That was Mom. It was a younger cougar. Yes, this is the next Chris Morgan right here.
Yeah.
This little boy, Zachary.
What an amazing kid. That is incredible. You're able to tell that story so calmly like that, right?
Now, and I was listening to your podcast, with regard to the cougar, Their nature is going to be to what? If they see you, in most cases, it was different with this boy, obviously, they're going to want nothing to do with you. That's your belief?
Yeah, they're very elusive, very secretive. I've been on that same trail hundreds of times, not exaggerating. I do it a few times a week if I can, you know. And I've never even seen a scat on the trail.
I used to live over there for a couple of years. And,
did you?
Yeah, never saw anything like that.
No, they're so elusive, you know. They don't want to be seen. They're very secretive. And that's by design, you know. They've evolved to be secretive and elusive because they don't want the deer to be able to see them. They're just about to jump on the back of and have for dinner kind of thing. So, yeah, they'd rather stay away from us. And so the best thing to do is definitely not chase them down a trail. I wasn't chasing the cat. I was just trying to get a good view, you know. But, but especially for kids as well, to stay safe. Just teach them to, you know, you can unzip your jacket. Have the kids lift the jacket up at the corner so it makes them look big
get
and feel big,
get
intimidating to the cougar so he thinks, oh, it's not worth my while, you know, it's too much trouble.
So in the cases where, you know, we had a fatality here, where they do attack, what is the difference in the cat in those cases where they do actually go after a person?
You know, oftentimes they're a younger cat. Uh-huh. So these young toms especially have a hard time finding territory away from the other big bully males that are pushing them around. So when they find their new territory, they struggle to find food, and sometimes that can lead to them attacking livestock, or super, super rarely, they take it out on a person. So they see a person as prey. So it's usually those younger, troublesome ones that that you need to look out for.
And is this a specific time? Is there more a specific time of year where that kind of happens, or is it year-round for them?
Not really. It's year-round. I mean, they're up and about all year. They don't hibernate like bears, so they've got to make a living all year. So it's tough. I mean, can you imagine being out there? Even in a place like Bellingham, where it's pretty temperate, you know, pretty mild. I mean, the snow we had this winter, and can you just imagine being any kind of wild animal out there, no clothes?
Yeah.
it's just persevering and making it happen.
That could get you in a bad mood every once in a while. Yeah. We complain about the weather, but we come inside here and get away from it. But
so if you've had a sighting or something, maybe have the Easter egg hunt inside this year.
Might be the way to do it.
Yeah, it's just a case of keeping your wits about you, for sure. I mean, just we all love the Northwest for the animals and the wild places that are here as much as anything, right? So, I mean, I think it just comes as part of that package, you know.
Are there going to be more wolf sightings here soon?
There could be, yeah. So, exciting news. The first wolf pack on the west side of the Cascades. A couple of years ago, a male came back in 2017. They radio collared him, followed him. Now it turns out he's got a girlfriend, which constitutes a pack. And this is near Marble Mount, as you guys know. And yeah, pretty big news if you're a fan of wolves.
So there are two of them for sure over here on this side of the state.
Yeah, looks that way, yeah.
And then how long does it take them? I mean, I know they're not like rabbits, but I mean, like, how long does it take two to become more? And
Yeah, they breed generally in the spring, early spring each year, and they have half a dozen pups. I don't know if they've had any this year, honestly. I know some of your listeners have called in saying they've seen multiple wolves, but I don't know if that's been verified or not, but there's at least two of them there, so they're ready to create their own pack when the time's right.
If it does get verified by one of our listeners, does that mean we get to name the pack? I mean, the Knucklehead Pack or the Brad and John Pack.
I love the Knucklehead Pack. That's awesome, yeah.
So we do get emails from listeners about this, and they knew you were coming in. They said, well, what's going to happen if we have wolves over here with regard to in Skagit County? With regard to our cattle and all that, could have a detrimental effect on our cattle herds?
Yeah, I totally understand it when, you know, people are worried about their, you know, whether they're hobby farmers or cattle ranchers, you know. There is a threat. It's a small one, but there are things that you can do as well to try and keep the wolves away from your cattle and just being aware as much as anything and super vigilant and everything from fencing and flagging to lighting and, you know, in the Northeast, where they have a lot of cattle and a lot of wolves, most of the wolves in Washington State are up in the Northeast counties of Washington, Ponderay, and Ferry and Stevens County. And over there, they even have these, I think, the coolest job in the world. They're called range riders. So they're like modern-day cowboys that are looking out for the wolves and looking out for the cattle on horseback all the time, around the cattle, keeping them safe from wolves.
I've seen stories where people do that now with drones, too.
Oh, right, right. Oh, that's cool. That sounds like a story.
They can cover a lot more ground riding an ATV out to the corner of the property and back and stuff like that.
That makes total sense. Yeah, yeah.
So most of them are out there.
Yeah, I think there's about 126 minimum at the moment wolves in Washington State. 20 odd packs. This one near Marble Mount's the newest one. But most of them, I brought a map to show you guys. I know maps aren't very good on radio, but you can just see that cluster of the packs there in the northeast of the state.
Well, and that said, it doesn't seem to take too much for them to get to Whatcom County or down to Snohomish County or Skagit, you know.
No, that's the amazing thing. You know, a wolf can trot 30, 40, 50, sometimes even 100 miles in a day. So,
wow.
So this male that made it into Marble Mount probably came from over the mountains, most certainly came from over the mountains on the east side. Could have been a wolf that came from the Lookout Pack or the Loop Pack. You know, 100 miles is nothing for him, just to find his own territory. Like the cougars you're talking about, same thing, young male, off on his own, trying to find life.
What are Chris Morgan, an ecologist extraordinaire, what are the chances that a Game of Thrones-style dire wolf comes back? Is that possible?
Those things are almost the size of an elephant.
Those things are huge.
Yeah. That'd be a whole different story. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
We're all in trouble if that happens.
Amazing to think they were here at one point, isn't it? You know,
All right, Chris Morgan. Well, hang on. We'll come back with you. We'll talk to you a little bit more about wolves and then about grizzlies in Rome, of all places.
near Rome, yeah.
Does the Vatican know about this, that we've got them out there? Brad and John with Chris Morgan here in the studio on KISM.